good morning. Have you voted yet? Hi.
Yeah.
Today
it's an important question.
Tuesday, June the 5th, Election Day. Joining us this morning, Mr. McCauley. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
More relaxed than you.
Yeah, you got your
blazer on.
Yeah, you definitely look more casual than I do.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, half day.
Yeah.
And then away, yeah.
So 8 hours?
Yeah, probably. I think there should be a song, Napa by 9. We'll find out.
PM?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I don't think the other ones, you know, unless Star Trek was real. I don't think I have much of a chance of teleporting.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, you having fun these days?
Yeah. It's nice to be on this side of the middle of April. That's good.
Well, and May, too, or from what I understand.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It's you know, from what we do, you know, it's nice to be out of the intensive busy season
just the normal intense?
Yeah.
You
know, it's kind of fun to have the, you know, some days, you know, I actually, the sun's up before I get up, and that's pretty cool.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Goes down, yeah.
Maybe I'm more accurately should say that the sun, that there is light in the sky before.
There you go.
Before I get up, I don't know. It's not always sunny.
So truly frightening. We're at the midway mark of the year.
Well, we're not quite.
Okay, knock off being the accountant. Be the football guy.
Yeah. It's halftime.
Yeah. There we go. There
it's
we
our
go.
Food?
Yeah. Oh. Is it too early to start planning? Mm-hmm. Do we have enough knowledge yet of what's going on? It certainly seems like the president is getting a lot of traction, a lot of movement. You know, if you don't pay attention to the news media, you'd think that things were going along pretty swimmingly and that there have been a lot of significant changes in favor of the tax-paying segments of the society.
Yeah.
Normally that means more taxes, different taxes. What are we looking at?
Well, we're looking at a lot. We're looking at some things beginning to firm up a little more. And there was, you know, keep in mind that the tax law was passed in December. It meant that for people like me, we had a relatively short window to try to gain some level of understanding to be able to try to help our clients between the date of passage, which was, I think, just before the 15th of December. There was there was 10 days of trying to figure out what the rules were, enjoying Christmas, and then a week on the phone.
I believe panic was what I sensed. Yeah.
You know, so we were trying to do the best we could in that little window to try to help people make decisions that you know, in a lot of cases, those decisions were kind of one-time decisions. You got an opportunity, a one-time opportunity to save some money. Do you want to do it? If so, you need to think about these things before December 31st. So we got through that. Then we took multiple classes trying to understand the new tax law. Subsequently as well, trying to get more and more information. Somewhere in the first week of February, we stopped taking classes and just focused on the 2017 returns and worked our way through them. And now we're back in that mode of trying to gather more information about not that we – there were a lot of reasons why we had to keep paying attention to the new tax law throughout the tax season, because we were doing planning. Sometimes even as we're doing a tax return, we're looking ahead to say, okay, what do we think 2018 is going to be?
Does it set things up
tax
or not?
Purposes, yeah. And yeah. Things of that nature. So we, you know, I don't mean to act like we totally disregarded it, but the point is we're trying to get more and more information is coming available about how the new law is going to work. We're still waiting for the IRS to issue some regs and things that will help us understand how they interpret the law. But we're working through those things right now, and this is kind of a good season here in the summer to gather more information. We're also working with clients trying to plan for it. Because there's some inherent uncertainties in certain provisions of the law, particularly as it relates to a concept called qualified business income, we are carefully, you know, we're trying to be conservative in our estimates with our clients rather than, you know, taking the most aggressive possible posture and assuming that's how it's going to play out. We're trying to look at it and say, okay, that's, you know, the most positive scenario might be this, and the most, you know, and trying to look at a kind of a more average scenario.
Qualified sounds like it's either a definitional term or something has changed.
It is. There's a whole new concept. It's, you know, as you may recall, in the old tax, you know, historically the corporate tax rates have been around effectively 35% for federal tax purposes, and that rate was lowered to 21% with a new law.
The one that's triggered to go into effect.
That's effective now.
Now effective. Filed next year.
It's effective now for a corporation, for any corporation, for covering any periods that include January 1 forward. So if you've got a fiscal year and you've got a blended rate.
Well, that'll make it fun for you.
Yeah.
Till that process is through,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well.
Two different returns.
Exactly. Well, it's you actually do one return, but the tax calculation is based on a blended calculation. And so you use the old rates and the new rates, and you factor in the amount of time that you're under each structure, and that.
So basically, you doubled the number of variables for this one filing period.
Yeah, well, okay. With regard to tax computation, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so corporations have some additional complexity, but the qualified business income really falls out as a result of other provisions that were put in place to kind of level the playing field with the corporate tax rate decrease.
All right. So you didn't think you had a ball of string in your house. I think we now have one, and we'll try to start untangling what it was you just said in the last minute and a half. Qualified income. We'll find out what that means when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
We're back. KINS News and Information Times 8:24. Those sudden conversation interruptions called programming kind of sneak up on us.
So weird. Is this new?
Yeah. What about? You know, I wonder. Are you the long termer on the group now? Oh, it's been what 42? No. 30. How long has it been? 18. 18 and 18 is 36. Okay, 35 years.
35 years of talk shop?
Yeah, you must be one of the old-timers.
I might be.
It's
pretty weird for a guy who's only 35.
Yeah, well, that's what Ange keeps talking about, how we have kids that are their age, and it just doesn't compute.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure.
We were going through the exercise with the community commenters also. Yeah. You know, Dick being one the only original. Just all the different shapes and sizes and names and perspectives and stuff.
Well, yeah. There's been a forum for a lot of voices over the years.
Yeah, I guess that must be a privilege of age and the curse of age.
Yeah, we can call it a privilege.
Yeah, but. Yeah, wink, wink. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before the break, Bill, we were talking about the qualified business income.
Yeah.
Okay. And it sounded like there might be some general direction for accountants, for people who have got 48 hours to plow through the minutiae.
Right.
Okay, you've developed the foundation. Let's give us a nice little rose in the front and summarize for business operators. Does it mean significant change, a little bit of change, or we're not really sure yet? change?
Well, a little bit of all three, really. It depends on the business to some degree. If you're operating in a C corporation, which is a traditional corporation,
and that's a majority, isn't it? Of businesses?
Well, no, it isn't. It really isn't.
Oh, really?
But what
is the most popular?
Well,
or common.
I think probably we're seeing more S corporations than C corporations. You know,
really?
In a lot
okay.
of respects. But all I'm saying. I guess, and I don't know what the statistics are, but if you add the partnerships and S-corporations, which are traditional pass-through entities, and we'll talk about that in a second, there's in our client base, there's more of those than there are C-corporations, which is unfortunate for us because C-corporations cannot adopt a fiscal year, and we can move them outside of our business. You know, often their natural business year makes sense to be something other than a calendar year, which is good for us because it moves the work out of our busy season. That been said, so you've got this continuum. You've got C corporations, which pay taxes on their own income. So in other words, C corporation makes income, pays taxes out of the corporation.
It's an entity.
It's an entity that pays taxes. You have another entity that's called an S corporation, which is a corporation that's made an election to be taxed under subchapter S, and subchapter S converts it into a pass through, which means that the corporation pays very limited corporate level taxes, and in general the income is passed through to the shareholders, and the shareholders pay the tax on the income. So if the corporation makes $50,000, then the shareholders are taxed on $50,000 worth of income, and the corporation doesn't pay income tax. And then you have partnerships, which is not a tax-paying entity as well, and so when a partnership makes money, the partnership income is passed through, and the tax is paid by the owners, the partners, or if it's an LLC, it might be members. That's the technical term, so depending on whether it's a partnership or an LLC, they both are under the same tax regime for the most part, ignoring some differences for California, which...
That's right. Keep it on the road, buddy.
Might be a
rattle. Keep it on the road here.
So keeping it on the road, we've got these different. You've got a traditional C corporation that pays tax, and that corporate rate went down from 35% max rate from 35% to a flat 21%. Most people, that results in a better deal. Not everybody, because there was a graduated rate to get to 35 under the old rules. Now you've got a flat 21. So you actually lost a little bit of the 15% bracket that used to exist for C corporations. So it depends where you fall on the income level to determine whether your tax is higher or lower. In general, corporations that were paying tax, if you had $100,000 taxable income, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket under the new tax law for a corporation.
But I guess I'm kind of lost with the concept of qualified.
We're getting there.
Income, because I would think either income qualifies or.
Yeah. Well, this is a concept. So what we're getting to is we've got these S corporations, and we've got these partnerships, and we've got these sole proprietorships out there, people who are operating their own business. You got these three kinds of entities that are out, and they pay tax on their income. There's no corporate level tax. So because of that, when the corporate level tax was being decreased, Congress decided that they would put in a new concept, and it's a 20% deduction on pass-through income to try to give some benefit to these entities that were not going to get the corporate tax level, the corporate tax break. So when we look at a S corporation as an example, certain income, the qualified business income, is going to be eligible for a 20% tax deduction. So as an example, if you have an S corporation, as it has in a simplified example, if they make $100,000, and in many cases that will be considered qualified business income, and they'll get a 20% tax deduction, so they're really going to only pay tax on 80% of that $100,000 I described, because they're going to get this deduction.
Is there income that doesn't qualify?
Yes, there is, and we're working through that to get a better understanding of it. Most business income will qualify. However, there are certain businesses that there's limitations that are imposed.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What
could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by, okay, and storyteller Bill McCauley. we're presented this morning by CDH Painting, Lolita Cheese, American Ag Credit, and Redec. Bill, going through this morass,
yep.
It kind of sounds like you're still trying to, you're still playing with Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox on this one as we're trying to figure things out a little bit. I guess that's another old guy analogy, huh?
Yeah, it is.
I don't think even Uncle Remus exists for a lot of folks.
Imagine that, Brian.
Yeah. Tar Baby. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. Is we're getting sucked into the Tar Baby.
Well, I'll tell you. It's yeah.
Interesting stuff. So as you guys are trying to extricate yourself out of this and clean things up, is this going to be one of those 2 or 3 year periods before everything is kind of rock solid? Or do you have hopes that whether it's qualified, not qualified, business, personal, et cetera, that the new impacts of the tax law will be settled down and you're going to have almost finite knowledge rolling into the end of the year?
We're going to know more and more as the year goes on, I believe. But I think there's going to be questions. We still think there's a really good chance of a process called technical corrections. And what happens in that case, whenever you get a new law that has a lot of complexity to it, often there's a follow-on bill 6, 8, 10 months later that's called technical corrections. And that's when they've looked at it and went, well, we didn't really mean this, and what we really meant was that.
Kind of like cleanup legislation.
Yeah. And so, yes. Yeah. And okay. So that process can have a bearing on how, you know, in tax law, you know, when you're talking about, you know, people seeking exactitude, and then you're finding out later we're just, you know, we're changing the ground rules again partway through. So I think we're going to see that. So there will be some fluidity to this. And and there's certain things that are more easily understood than others, and there's other areas that are clearly more vague, and they're going to require, you know, maybe more judgment, and you know, we don't, you know, part of what we do is we exercise judgment in doing tax work, but we like to try to minimize those kinds of judgment calls, you know, and be supported by a confidence that we know what the law provides.
Plus or minus is not in your guys' vocabulary.
Not as much. I mean, but the reality is the world's complex, and there are things that aren't as clear as you would like them to be, and you have to make judgment calls. And that's you know, we try to explain to our clients, look, this is maybe what we would commonly call a gray area, and we can go into it with you if we think there's substantial authority, and we think there is, but we want you to understand that there's not absolute authority, and so you need to understand this is your continuum of choice, and they'll say, what do you think I should do? And that's where the rubber hits the road. It's like, well,
sure, that's the advisory capacity that we look for.
Yeah.
Do you sense that there's going to be an awful lot of amended tax returns because of this knowledge replacing question?
I don't think so for 2017. I think for the 2018 returns, hopefully we're going to have enough information as the year goes on that we'll be able to do these things accurately and without an undue amount of need to go back and correct. They're always, you know, we always do, you know, I mean, that amended returns are, it's a nice tool when you find out, you know, an assumption that was made or that information was incomplete or an error was made or whatever the case, it's nice to be able to go back and fix it. You know, the point is right now we're trying to make sure we understand how this pass-through loss is going to work so that we can help our clients not only plan, Because planning is one thing, and then we have to be able to help them execute in terms of how this is going to go in the returns when we get into the early part of next year. So there's this is all kind of coming out and layering, and we're, you know, the intensity that we, you know, that is attenuant to the decisions gets greater as we get closer to when the rubber really hits the road, when we have to file these 2018 tax returns.
The amendment process, typically, I think most of us consider if it means an additional refund. Do you file amended returns when it goes the other way also?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it does cut both sides.
It does cut both ways.
Okay.
It's a lot easier for people to embrace amending a return when they're going to get money back. But there are times where there's information was, you know, the return is deemed to be incomplete, or additional information comes in after the return is filed. We see that from time to time where a client comes in and goes, I didn't know this was coming. And then they give it to you and you say, well, gee, that didn't get included in the return. We need to amend the return.
So it's not trying to fake somebody out. It's just more information.
No, you have an obligation to file a complete return. And if you don't have a complete – now, there's sometimes we'll look at it and go, gee, this was missing, and it makes a $56 difference in your tax liability. A lot of times we'll look at the client and say, I don't think you should amend for a $56. You know, we're going to charge you more than that to amend this return. Right. I don't think it's worth it. If the IRS sends you a notice, we'll say, yeah, you're right, and we'll
go forth, and
you can go ahead and pay it then. But it doesn't make sense to pay us more than, you know.
Yeah, at this point.
You know, X just, times three to pay,
we'll,
you know.
Put that one in the file and we'll work it
right,
next year.
Right. So it's you know, you have to be a little pragmatic. But on the other hand, you know, you want to help people be compliant. And, you know, certain different people have different tolerances for being, you know, for being out of compliance.
KINS, news and information, like taking a break late?
Right.
Uh-huh. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Billy, looking at the industry, I know that you had made comment with some of our off-air conversations and a bunch of others also, and we're seeing the unemployment rate, or at least the posted unemployment rate, whether it's underemployed or not, we'll set that one aside. How tough is it to find folks that like to crunch numbers? I've heard a lot of folks, bookkeepers are getting tough to find, people who are with competency. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Is this career something that's going to be automated, this field, or is it something that's going to need people to be people? And if you're inclined in that direction, you could really set yourself up for a livelihood.
Well, it's an interesting question. Right now, in our trade publications, you see some articles saying, "Oh, this is, you know, all we do is going to be the accounting profession is going to be automated," and then you get the more realistic approach, which is, well, pieces of it are going to be automated, but there's way too many judgment calls to get a bot.
You could say calculators. Yeah. Have automated the industry.
Yeah, and things
depending on your references,
right? And things will continue to be automated. Data collection will probably be increasingly automated over time. It already is, and there's going to be strides. And I think there's going to be functions that are going to be automated to a greater degree than they are right now. But I don't think the artificial intelligence is going to replace. There's just too many decision trees. You know, it's. I mean, maybe programming will take such a leap that, you know, you'll have learning intelligence that can learn how to make decisions that way. I don't know, but I, you know, the profession, you know, both from certified public accountants and tax preparation, I think there's a good future in both. I think people need people like to talk to people. They want to sit down and go over their issues with a person. They don't want to just type in a question and go, well, I hope I typed the question right. I mean, that's the challenge.
Well, there's more security also when I'm talking to you versus filling out a form that's somehow going from me to something else. I mean, there's the Big Brother syndrome in there as well.
And so it's an interesting time. It's challenging to find people who the world's different. You know, the people are different. You know, when you recruit, people have a different. Sometimes, you know, probably in general, people are different. You know, baby boomers tend to be the kind of. A lot of them were kind of would say, "Oh, you know, you want me to do more work? Great. How much more do you want me to do?" And there's a lot of that attitude. And I think younger generations have, and this isn't totally across the board, but I think in general there's more of this. Well, my quality of life means I don't want to work to that degree. I want to manage my work life differently, and to some degree that's really understandable because you look at what the future is for a young person right now, and if they're married, they probably have two spouses working. If they've got kids, that's that much more time away from kids if both spouses are working. And so if you can contain the amount of time that you have to spend at work into a more manageable box, it makes quality of life better for raising children or for having other opportunities. So
how do folks do a little research? Do you guys, as an industry, mentor or job shadow? I mean, you know, a day in the life of Bill, kind of thing?
We do different. We participate in different programs. We generally have interns that we from the university during our busy season. Sometimes even the off season, we'll bring in interns. They have a nice internship program up there. We want to support it. There are also the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants has a bunch of resources on their website to help younger people. Or people new to the profession to understand what's coming. So, yeah, those resources are out there.
And you do answer your phone, right?
Absolutely.
If somebody calls?
Yeah, generally, okay. Yeah. As a matter of fact, yes, we do. A human answers our phones.
All right, there we go. It came full circle. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.